All right. So I'm just going to speak to some of the things that the Lord laid on my heart. We're going to go through Galatians, some of 5 and some of 6. And a little set there. Today is going to be talking about the signs of the Spirit. So we're just talking about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Also, a little bit of religion and kind of just things like that, just as we go through the scriptures, you know. So just pray for us really quick. Father God, we lift up today, Lord. I thank you for tonight, Lord. Just help the breakthrough in any kind of just carnality, Lord, religion. Just any kind of things that just hinder, Lord, the progress of your Spirit, Lord, tonight. I pray for myself, Lord. Help me to hear from you, even as I speak, Lord. I know I have notes and different kind of like guidelines and things like that, but at the same time, Lord, just the need for me to be fluent as you're speaking to me, Lord. So just pray for that tonight. I pray for open ears, Lord. I pray for the people who aren't here tonight, Lord, just to be with them and speak to their hearts as well, Lord. Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen. So starting in Galatians 5, 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And we're going to actually finish all of chapter 5 there. 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So just to give you guys a context here of what's going on, Galatians as a whole, and also for chapter 5. So the letter itself is a letter addressed to the churches in Galatia. That makes sense, right? In Galatia. It's comprised, the church that it's addressed to is comprised of both Jewish and Gentile believers. So you got a mixture going on there. The main theme of this book is that there's a debate going on in the Galatian churches, and that's, do we need circumcision to be saved? So in other words, do we need an incorporation of works, you know, in our salvation? And you got this kind of thing going on in the Galatian church. And Paul here is addressing that heresy, you know. So chapter 5 warns against the false teachers and also has this whole issue of like misusing the freedom that we have in Christ, kind of addressing that you're free, but there's other things going on here too. So verse 16 says to walk in the Spirit and you might not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the desires of the flesh. One of the things that I find that one of your greatest weapons against fighting against the flesh is simply walking in the Spirit. That's one of the greatest weapons you have to not walk in the flesh. It is simply do the things that God, you know, wants you to do. Whether it's in the Scripture or whether it's, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to you in real time, or whatever you want to call it. Either way, if you do those things, you can actually have... There's a lot of things you can have to counter the flesh. Like, one of the things is to make no provision for the flesh. That's one other thing, too, is that where, you know, you kill any kind of provision that you make for the flesh. But another thing, too, is to simply, again, walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of someone I'm having a struggle against the flesh, or I'm fighting the flesh and I'm fighting the old man, whether it's lust, pride, like envy, jealousy, whatever. It's not just a matter of, I'm fighting from just the flesh, you know. It's more a matter of the Holy Spirit empowering you to live the Christian life and to actually do the things that He's called you to do. So, what does it say here? Romans 13... 14 says to put on the Lord Jesus, and again, make no provision of the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So the whole issue of putting on the Lord Jesus and the whole issue even of walking in the Spirit, all these things have this issue of, it's an active thing you have to do. It's not just something that's like passive. Does that make sense? It's like you have to actively walk in the Spirit. You have to actively deny the flesh, and you have to actively put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's not just something that, again, you're gonna, in our natural state living in this world, everything in this world is geared towards you not following Jesus. Mm-hmm. and towards you not operating in the spirit. And a lot of times, you know, you can be out there in the world, and the tendency is, even in your daily life, you know, the spirit may tell you to pray over someone or to speak to someone, but because we're so bent and so caught up in our daily routine, a lot of times we just, I'm busy, or I'm kind of just, you know, I'm kind of doing my own thing. I need to get to the next errand or whatever. Even in that kind of way, that's more of like a neutral thing, not necessarily, quote, evil, but that sin of omission, to where God's telling you to, hey, take a moment, you know, speak to this person, and we don't do it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's that whole issue of the world and just the pace of the world kind of coming in and just killing that walking in the spirit. And I know I've talked about this before, but the issue of like walking, again, has to do with your Christian walk. That's your... The Bible a lot of times describes your Christian like progress in your life as a walk. So it's... Because that's an active progression, you know. Now, you can walk in the light. 1 John talks about walking in light. Or you can walk in darkness. So it is an option to where you can walk in either one. Again, too, walking has to do with the issue. It's an active thing. It's not passive. Mm-hmm. You know, where sitting is more passive and, you know, and you're kind of letting things happen, walking is active. I'm saying you're not just going to fall into, you know, like holiness. You have to actually... make, again, a conscious effort to be holy as I am holy. You know, you have to obey, you know. So, again, so. Verse 17, the flesh wars against the spirit. So, you're going to have this constant issue going on to where you're going to have to deny the flesh, kill the flesh. These things are going to have to be crucified on a daily basis, you know. So, it's, again, that, again, progress that's happening. To be led by the spirit, in verse 18, it's the need that Paul is talking to be led by the Spirit and to say that you are not under the law. Now, remember what's going on in the Galatians here. Their emphasis is on the exterior actions of what's going on. In this case, it manifests in circumcision. Mm-hmm. So, but it can't, of course, today we can do some like similar things where we put like maybe some kind of religious kind of emphasis on a certain action or exterior or the image of something, versus the actual heart of what's going on in a particular person. So Galatians here is talking about the need. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. When you're led by the Spirit of God and you're obeying what He says, it's not a matter of human effort and you trying harder. Even Matt was talking about earlier in the prayer about, you know, that elbow grease, you know, and just trying harder and not... I've seen that before too, where like you have a newborn Christian or someone who, you know, claims to be a Christian or whatever, and they come to Christ, and it's just a matter either they grow out of it and God teaches them otherwise, or they fall off to where a lot of times they think, oh, it's just a matter of me coming to church and just a matter of me, you know, kind of like, you know, doing certain things, exterior actions, you know, instead of the actual heart chains of an actual of the actual person, a new creation in Christ. It's not just a matter of you just trying harder. Your Christian walk and your actual walking by the Spirit should be a natural outflow of you being born again.
Yes.
Now, of course, you're not perfect. No one's going to be perfect. You know, we all know that, you know. But there should be, again, a natural flow in the Spirit to where it's like, okay, in the same way, you know, what does it say? You're born again, a new creation. Like a new creation, a bird doesn't have to struggle to fly. A bird just flies, you know. It just kind of flies and just kind of does what it's designed to do, you know. You can see that in nature where a tree naturally sprouts a particular thing. Mm-hmm. It's in its nature. In the same way, you being a Christian, a new creation, it's in your nature to be Christ-like and to be manifesting the Spirit of God in various aspects of your life. So again, it's not an outward effort to please God. You know, it's not this whole thing. We're not living under the law in the sense that we're struggling to obey the law in our own human effort. You know, if it were to do that, that would be impossible. That's an impossible. You can't do that. But by the power of the Spirit of God, you are led by His Spirit and you're able to obey God and to do the works that the Spirit calls you to do. So continuing Galatians 5:19-21, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here we have the works of the flesh. I'm sure all of you guys know, you've read this before. You know, the works of the flesh is a very well-known passage, along with the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to necessarily dissect all of these, because each of these can be their own like little mini sermon. I mean, really, they can each be their own thing, and we can expand on each of these. Right. But there's a couple of these that I do feel like led to kind of address. But the first thing I want to talk about with the works of the flesh, two things. First, number one, it's called works of the flesh, so it's a work of the flesh. It's not unlike fruit of the Spirit. So the works of the flesh, there, if you're a believer, remember this is addressed to believers in Galatia. When you operate in the flesh, that's actually a form of like work for you. You're actually working. So in other words, it's a strain for you to do that. So think of it as if you're designed to do a particular thing. When we talk about the metaphor of like a bird, you know? So what if you have like a bird, and this is all just coming to me, I guess, by Spirit of God as I'm on the spot here. So if you've seen a bird, like a sparrow or something, trying to like swim in the ocean or something. Or what if you've seen a bird trying to walk around and trying to like hunt like antelope in a savannah or something, you know? Well, that would be kind of silly, right? Because it's not designed to do that, you know? So in the same way, when you operate in the flesh, you're actually working and doing something you're not really meant to be doing. You're doing something that's a strain on you. Now, this is in contrast to, we're going to get to this a little bit later, this is a contrast to the fruits of the Spirit, which a fruit just naturally kind of grows out of the tree. So a work, the works of the flesh, it's out of character, and it's think about how when you're doing like strained work and it's straining your body. Now it's, you know, maybe physically good for you or whatever, but it's something that in your nature you kind of may not want to really do, you know. You're just doing it because you kind of, you know, for work, you know. So it's called a work. Again, unlike the fruit of the Spirit, which naturally grows, or even the gifts of the Spirit, which are given by the Spirit of God. You know, they're gifts given to him. And also I found something interesting too. Number two, is they're evident. So they're, in other words, they're made obvious. So again, remember this is talking about people who are believers, and how is it? You know, a lot of times you guys can see this in other people's and probably in our own lives sometimes too, where when there's an operating in the flesh, in the works of the flesh, it's obvious. It's evident, you know, it's obvious that there's not an operation in the Spirit. We're going to get into the practice too, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but the whole issue of like when the flesh and sin is being made manifest, again, it's obvious. So again, the works, we're not going to cover all of these, but there are certain ones we're going to talk about. Verse 19, adultery and fornication. So here you have sexual immorality, the misuse of the gift of sexuality. And that's a common sin, even in the church. Very common.
Shame.
No. Here we go. All you guys have been around. I mean, all you guys know, like, you've seen things to where it's like, you wouldn't think that, like, things like fornication would be such a... It's like an obvious thing that you would think that, you know...
It should be like okay
that's like common, you know, adultery and fornication. So it talks about the whole issue of, you guys know what that means. I mean, just adultery, you know what that is, and fornication, you know what that is. But then it gets into a couple other things too, uncleanness, which is even not just physical immorality, but also the morally immoral. So that's more even like the internal like actions, even the, so think even like the Christian using unclean and sensual speech, kind of think like that. And even that, I've seen that before. It's where it's like, and that's normally a forerunner for adultery and fornication, to where it's like they're speaking like sensually in a way,
okay,
in a way that's kind of like, that's like, you know, it's more like off, you know. And then normally I find out a little later that, okay, well, yeah. Remember, it's out of the, what is it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you know. So you have uncleanness, which is physically and moral immorality, not just physical, but also like in actions and like other aspects too of the person. You got lewdness, which again, translations say, again, that's sensuality, to where it's like sensual, lustful pleasures, promiscuity. I'm going to be honest, guys, and this is just to give you guys a little bit of a, just to keep you guys on guard. There have been times where I have encountered people who claim to be believers, and you know, for me to say claim to be believers, that must be a real strong thing, because I don't necessarily like judging someone's walk completely and saying you're completely not a believer. But I ran into people who claim to be believers, and there would be, I would talk to them, and at first I wouldn't talk to them, you know, I wouldn't encounter them or anything, you know, whatever. And I would just be like, okay, you know, I'm probably a believer, I don't really know them or anything. I would encounter them, and I would start to talk to them, and the moment I would start to talk to them, it wouldn't be like necessarily anything they would say would be sensual. Mm-hmm. It's not like they were going around, hey, I sleep around with a whole bunch of people.
Right.
It wouldn't be like they would be saying that. They might even be saying, like, actually, like, Christian things, you know. But there'll be something in this speech. I'm going to be perfectly honest, guys. There'll be something in this speech that triggers in my mind is, like, there's a weird sensuality in how that person's talking. It's like there's, again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you hear, literally, the sensuality in their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, later on, you'd find out, like, either they were promiscuous, there was some kind of sensuality going on, maybe even they were homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they find out, you find out, and this has happened on multiple, you know, occasions, to where, like, even where sometimes we're even like ministers, you know, like, and it's like, yeah, I even have supernatural stuff to where it's like not just even the voice, but it's like weird, like, what, you know. So, like, again, just to keep you guys on guard, particularly with that, you can kind of sense, you know, a lot of times you can sense that sensuality. Again, this is even addressing people who are claiming to believers, or even like, maybe they actually are believers and they're struggling and they're caught up in this, you know, thing, you know. But again, uncleanness, lewdness, so that sensuality, lustful pleasures, that lustful mindset. Just an interesting note, and you got, again, I think a lot of you guys noticed, I believe it's with one of these, I can't remember, one of these words, I believe it's either adultery or fornication or promiscuity, one of these words, sexual immorality, the Greek word for that is porneia, so obviously you guys know what that is, that's where we get the word pornography from, so. But the one thing I found interesting about this word, I never actually did this. This is kind of, I never actually looked into this. But the word porneia, which is the Greek word for, you know, sexual immorality, there's an implication of idolatry in there too. So there's an overlap there, in which I kind of already knew that, because if you get into Corinthians, it kind of implies the overlap between like sexual immorality and idolatry. Because then you have to get into, you know, in Corinth, there was an actual church, I believe, dedicated to Aphrodite. And it gets into the whole, you know, the church in Corinth. That's a whole other topic, you know, we can talk about that, you know. But there is an overlap between sexual immorality and idolatry, putting something above God and actually making that your God, essentially. So continued into the works of the flesh, idolatry is from verse 20. Again, idolatry. What is idolatry, guys? You know what that is, right? That is, let's make this Wednesday night and make this a testing night. What is idolatry?
Idolizing
putting anything above God.
That's, yeah, essentially. Putting anything, worshiping and putting anything before God that should not be God, essentially, you know. So, of course, in times past, you had, like, people would bow down to, you know, stones and everything like that. But again, guys, it goes deeper than that. Because, again, if you go back, I mean, I will bring up a little bit of the Aphrodite temple with that. The sexuality was incorporated into their worship. So I mean, there you got that. And now today we have it where, again, really, whenever you put anything before God, or even make an image of God that should not be, that's not correct of God, even in your mind. So let's say, for an example, you go out there and let's say you have a Christian, and we'll make it obvious. Let's say the person doesn't like the thought of people going to hell. Okay, let's say a person go out and is like, you know what, I believe in most of the Bible, but I don't believe, you know, I don't like the aspect of people going to hell. Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, they're making an idol. They're making an idol in their mind to where it's like, you know, I'm making a God that fits, you know, in my particular image of what I desire and what I want. So that also is an act of, too, like putting idolatry. A lot of things we can have can fall into idolatry, where we put things before God that really should not be. And what does it say in the scripture even, where Jesus said, if you don't love like a mother or father, so even that can be put in a way to where it's like you can put those things, even loved ones and family members, in a place that's before God, you know, it's the way it shouldn't be. And it was a lot of times too, I've noticed too, and I hope I'm not getting too off topic here, but when it gets into that scripture of like loving father, you know, daughter, and whatever, you know, more than me, I kind of wonder about that. And it's like, well, you know, a lot of times, you know, in our modern day, we don't necessarily have, because back in that time, you can actually be disowned from the family for following mm-hmm. Jesus and stuff like that. But even today, I mean, just an aspect of like obeying God versus obeying like the desires of, you know, a loved one. You know, maybe a loved one is like, hey, you know, maybe kind of tone down the Jesus stuff, or, you know, hey, you know, I don't like you, you know, you doing that kind of Christian walk thing, or a friend even, you know, and just kind of even that kind of falling into that category of putting father, mother, daughter, son, brother, sister, friend above, you know, God, you know, even that kind of more passive kind of not quite obvious way of, you know, of putting those loved ones before God. And of course he says that Jesus said he won't have any of that. So idolatry, the act of putting anything before God that's not actually truly the living God. So sorcery, you guys know that, right? Sorcery, that's, mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time saying sorcery. 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 There we go. I have a problem with my S's and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reminded about something that happened in the past. It's a funny joke. So yeah, you know, Josh knows what I'm talking about. Sorcery, witchcraft, black magic. I'm not going to talk about that. That's an inside joke. So witchcraft, things like that, which is not just, you know, a lot of times, again, we think black magic and witchcraft and things like that, but, how many times are you going to see a Christian, like, obviously, blatantly, you know, like, worship, you know, being put on a black robe and everything like that, you know, a lot of times, you know, you may not, maybe, who knows, you know, who knows what's going on, maybe there's a fake, you know, fake Christians out there that are just doing witchcraft. I'm sure that is actually happening. But a lot of times, when you actually talk about sorcery and witchcraft, that's also incorporated with like drugs and like doing things that are mind-altering things. So I do want to kind of throw that in there too. Because one of the things that's aspects of the witchcraft and the sorcery and like in contacting the spirits is that you're putting your mind in an altered state using drugs in order to contact these other spirits. So a lot of times you have drugs which are incorporated too. That's again another thing that is common in the modern church, to where you see
drugs that are being abused. And again, that's something that, like, fornication, you would think, oh, you know, that's not really, that shouldn't be. But again, it's common. You know, people are abusing drugs and still, I'm talking, again, what I'm talking about are people who are claiming to be Christian and saying, I'm following Christ,
yeah,
and then doing these things, these works of the flesh. I'm not saying people who are, you know, like, hey, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. This is, again, this is addressing people. Paul is addressing people who are claiming to be believers and actually doing these things and going about these things and abusing these things. So sorcery and witchcraft, the main modern context I like to put that in even more so, again, is the drugs and the mind-altering, because that's kind of interrelated with that. Hatred, again, guys, you know what hatred is. Jesus said if you call any of your brothers raka, that means essentially like idiot, you know, then you're in danger of hellfire. So even that heart that is like has bitterness and hatred against your brother, even that you have to be. Really, a lot of these things come down to the heart, to where it's like the heart of the person that needs to be converted by the Spirit. Contentions. Oh, this is a good one. Contentions, you know. I like this one. In verse 20, the whole issue of like, I like to fight and I like to. Proverbs talks about quarrels. I don't know if you guys know, but if you actually, there's a bunch of Proverbs that actually talk about quarrels. And in the context of being contentious and quarrels, Proverbs says that a righteous man, a righteous man will generally stay away from quarrels. Now, quarrels are useless fights. Now, there's some fights which you have to have. You have, there's no avoiding. So there's some fights which you have to have. And there's some people that need to be corrected. And there's people who are obviously doing things which are not supposed to be doing. And they need, it, there's no avoiding the battle, you know. Mm-hmm. But then there's other things which are just useless fights, which have no profit. Now remember that issue of quarrels, you guys can look it up on your own in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. The whole issue of quarrels and the issue of the righteous man refraining from those is in Proverbs. And what is Proverbs? It's the book of wisdom. And so it's up to you to have wisdom and discernment to know which is which. You really have to really discern, okay, is this actually a fight that's actually needed? Or is this a fight? Is this a fight for righteousness? Is this a fight for actually the person of Jesus? Or is this something because my pride is hurt? Mm-hmm. Or because I just want to state my opinion? Or I just want to, you know, do whatever, you know. Is it just be contentious, you know? It is possible to actually be, to contend for something and not necessarily be contentious. Mm-hmm. So does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you can contend for the gospel, you can contend for truth, and not be contentious. But still have, what does it say to Jesus? Did Jesus say this? Oh man, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I got to actually shore up on this, right? To sin, to be angry and not sin. So it is possible for you to be angry, to have a righteous anger, and to not sin. You know. So the need, but the contentions, though, again, it's more of a useless fight that doesn't really matter. And a righteous person, Proverbs says, will refrain from useless battles. And there's no purpose in it. Notice, though, this is where you begin to see. And I begin to notice, this is where you begin to see these particular works start coming up. And not all of them, but a lot of them you can do with a nice little Christian cover. So you can do it with like a Christian kind of flag on it. Like, hey, you know, I'm being contentious when in actuality, you know, they just like to argue. You know, they just like to argue with no actual, you know, purpose behind it. I know sometimes, you know, we go witnessing, and I'll bring this up, you know, sometimes we were going witnessing, and in the past, we'd have instances where we would be arguing with people, I want to say sometimes maybe hours on end, man. We're arguing with people hours on end, and a lot of times we would literally, like I remember one time we were in like Matson, I think. And we were arguing. Well, I don't know if I was arguing. you know, but it was one to where like we were having a discussion with someone who was like a Jehovah's Witness, And we were literally going back and forth for like an hour, like 2 hours. And it's like, there's no purpose in that. Yeah. There's no purpose in that. Yeah. You're just, like, there's nothing, there's no, and that's in contrast, and again, I'm not trying to, like, you know, but there was one time where I encountered, like, a JW, and I credit it completely to the Spirit of God, you know, to where the Spirit of God, like, it was me and my dad, and the guy came to the door. And, like, I have to say, it's probably the Spirit of God that came on me and, like, spoke through me. And I was able to speak in power to this guy. And he was, like, blown back, and he had no argument. You know, I was like, yay. And he was an elder, too. He was an elder. It wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't like some young guy. And again, that wasn't myself. I believe that was, you know, God speaking through me to this particular person, to where he had no answer to, you know, to what was being said.
Right.
Versus having just some contention going back and forth around in a circle, just arguing with this person. Again, that I would include in the quarrels and just going around in circles, you know. Jealousy, fear of what will be taken away. That's jealousy. Outbursts of wrath, where the slightest thing can get someone angry to where, you know, you can't, someone does something wrong and there's no mercy or anything like that. Selfish ambitions, again, that's another good one right there. That's the one I like to talk about a lot. That's another thing that can be done with a Christian cover, with a nice Christian cover, to where you can be selfishly ambitious. Because selfishly ambitious to where you can, sometimes it's obvious, it's like, okay, this person is being ambitious on their own steam or whatever. But again, this is referring to Galatian believers, to where this is to where, like, they're doing it. You can do this with a Christian banner. And an example I always love to use is to where, you know, where a person is, you know, claiming to be, well, a person is trying to get into, like, let's say Christian filmmaking or Christian arts, and, you know, even like worship leaders, you know, to where they're having this. And again, that's something that has to be answered in a person's own heart. You know, I can't read the person's heart all the time. But you see that a lot, to where it's like even the Christian filmmaking, to where it's like, it's the same goals that, like, the world, you know, this whole, like, I want to be famous, I want to be, make a lot of money, I want to make my name known. But it's done with a Christian banner. It's done with this, like, little, like, Christian kind of, like, you know, but I'm doing it for Christ, you know. I'm sure you can even include this into ministries, to where someone can be, like, selfishly ambitious, to where they're like, I want to make my name known, you know, and I want to be known under the banner of Christ, you know, it's like sharing the glory with trying to steal the glory away from Jesus. So continuing, dissensions, divisions, so divisive people are trying to, like, cause... what's one of the things that the Lord hates in Proverbs is people who cause discord among the brethren. Mm-hmm. So that's one of actually the things that the Lord hates in Proverbs, is when someone tries to cause, you know, divisions. Heresies, again. A heresy actually reiterates this. Some translations say factions and disunion. So again, that's talking about divisions and trying to cause discord. Like trying to make it to where, well, if I hate you, now I'm going to have you join on my bandwagon of hating you. I'm going to have this other person over here hate you too, and we can all hate you together. You know? So these divisions, dissensions, factions, this whole, like, bandwagon of, like, hating on people and causing divisions among families, and especially the family of Christ. Verse 21, works of the flesh continue. Remember, these are all works of the flesh. So when someone is working a divisive spirit or a selfish ambition, or like a contention, they're doing things that which are against their newborn nature and their nature that's supposed to be ingrained in their spirit. So envy, verse 21, coveting what someone else has. I'm not even past the second page here, and I'm kind of, all right. Envies, coveting what someone else has. Murders, again, related to hatred. Not all translations have murders, which I thought was interesting. But again, hatred and murders, that's, again, the same heart issue of what has to do with the person. Because murder comes out of hate. And comes out when, and again, Jesus makes that connection to where if you hate someone, you're really already murdering the person in your heart. So, yeah, that drunkenness,
the issue of drinking to the point of no control of your senses, to where you have no control. Now, a person may have the freedom to drink, and they may have the freedom to do things, but obviously, do you want to take advantage of that freedom? You know, that's even for myself. You know, I don't think I've ever really drunk any liquor. You know, I think I had like once when I was like in my 20s, but it was, you know, that was almost like an accident. And I accidentally drunk something, you know, and that wasn't even on purpose. But that's not an issue of, normally the thing I think is like, well, do I want to put myself under that, you know, mm-hmm. under that bondage, you know, mm-hmm. and give myself that, you know, that thing I have to deal with? Well, no. So the issue of drunkenness, the issue where you lose control of your senses, and again, you have no control. Revelries, partying, and feasting, again, it's not necessarily bad. You know, having fun and having a good time and hanging out, but this is getting more into that whole, again, drunkenness, revelry, partying, feasting. What does a lot of those things lead to? I mean, what do a lot of those mm-hmm. things lead to? I mean, and again, this is Christians that are involved in this, to where a lot of it leads to drunkenness and fornication. You know, it leads to those things. I feel like, you know, even as I'm speaking, you know, a lot of times you have the modern believers who are completely playing tag with the world in these things, and there's no sense of like a lot of things with the revelries too. I don't know if you kind of realize this or think about this. A lot of it too has to do with like that emotionalism that's involved in there too, to where it's like this emphasis of like, you know, have come out, hang out, feel the emotions with us, and do all these different things. And even if you in the world, you have this whole issue of like having a partying and reveling, and a lot of times this is, well, you can't have a party without alcohol. You know, you need alcohol in order to have a party. Well, you know, well, you can have a party without alcohol. Actually enjoy the people who are with you, and actually, you know, like actually get to know the people who are with you, you know. And the like. So verse 21 says, and the like too. So even similar things, which may not necessarily fall in that category, but still kind of have all the things that were mentioned fall under that banner of the works of the flesh. So Matthew 7:23 said, Matthew 21 says the issue of practice. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Matthew 7:23 said that, Jesus said to the wicked on the last day, excuse me, depart from me, you who practice or work iniquity. So it's not a matter of this being like a one time, like someone makes a mistake, you know. And, you know, a lot of us, again, make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But it's an issue more of practice in someone's lifestyle. It's their lifestyle that the person is going out and getting drunk. You know, they're drinking to the point where they have no control mm-hmm. of their bodies. And it's a lifestyle that they're going around being contentious and like fighting with different people and like outbursts of wrath. And it's, again, their lifestyle that they're being divisive. And they're making a practice. It's their actual walk, you know. It's the actual things that they mm-hmm. that's in their nature. And again, it's obvious. So the believer is actually walking in this thing that's very obvious and not as contrary to what their nature actually is. So continuing in Galatians 5:22-26, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So this completely defies you trying to human effort, trying to do these things in your own mm-hmm. strength. You're doing this by the power of the Spirit. Gentleness. Oh, I already said that. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. So all those things, those works of the flesh and those things, those passion and desires have been crucified with Christ on the cross. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice with that too,
that if you live in the spirit, it's an aspect world, you have to also walk in the spirit too. So it's not just a matter of, I'm saved, you know, I got the Holy Ghost, you know, I got this. Well, you have to walk in the spirit too. You have to actually obey what the spirit tells you to do. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the fruit of the spirit, again, we talked about this, I talked about this earlier. Note that the fruit on a tree naturally grows out of the Christian. This isn't something that's forced. This isn't something that is human striving. It goes completely in your nature that you will produce fruit as a believer. And it talks about these things of having fruit. And of course, there is a pruning process too. Jesus talks about the pruning, the clipping. But the general stride of what you're going to be doing is there's a changed nature. There should be a new person somewhere in there that can be seen. That's like, yeah, there's a new person in there. Again, not same thing with the works. We're not going to cover each of these fruits completely. This is almost going to have to be like a second message or something. I don't know. I mean, because this is... I think I might just...
It's a lot.
Yeah, I think I might... I'm going to go through the fruits. But I'm going to do Galatians 6 probably...
Next week.
So Galatians 5:22-26, the fruit of the Spirit, again, naturally grows. Again, not going to go over all the fruits, but the first one it talks about is love. And what does it say in the scripture? It talks about, you know, love. You can have faith, hope, and all these different things, but if you have that love, then it's just like a clanging cymbal, you know, just doing, you know, whatever, you know. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. Remember, God is love, so it's not just a matter of like you know, having lovey-dovey emotions and everything like that. You actually know the person of love, so you actually, it's a person of love that you know. Even that sacrificial love that you have for others, not just, you know, oh, this person makes me feel good, you know, to where it's more of a... what was the Jewish thought of love, to where it's almost more like a commitment, to where it's like a commitment actually to that person. 1 Peter 4:8, when it talks about the fervent love for one another, one of the signs as a believer is your fervent love for other believers. Now, of course, you can have love for non-believers too. I mean, that's a given. Yes, you're supposed to love non-believers. But the love you have for other believers is a sign that you are different and that there is something different about you. Whereas 1 John talks about this, the whole book of 1 John kind of talks about this, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible, to where it talks about when you love on another Christian, that's a sign of you loving the invisible God, and that your actual fellowship of one another, your ability to connect and have that fellowship with other believers, is a sign that you are actually walking and having fellowship with God. And I've said this again. I got people angry with this, I believe. And I've said it before here, and I've said it in other places. And I'll say it again. I am an honest believer that other believers should be able to connect in the spirit. Like, automatically. I'm an honest believer of that. And that love for one another should be automatic. And... I'll get on a little tangent here because it's such an important tangent. You know, when I was younger, and I was younger in my faith, and sometimes I try to connect with other believers, and sometimes there'd be like a weird, like, nothing there. And I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, you know, I'm not trying to say that, but there'll be a weird thing that wasn't there. And a lot of times I would think, well, you know, maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's some, you know, some social thing, or maybe it's like whatever thing. Like, no. A lot of times you find some craziness going on. Because what does it say in the scripture? If you walk in the light, and you have fellowship with God, and you have fellowship with others. You know, if you walk in the darkness, and you're not going to have fellowship with God. And the implication there is that you won't have fellowship with other believers. Okay. That's the implication. And again, 1 John 1 goes into this whole thing. I've noticed where a lot of time you have that wall with other believers. I'm just going to be honest. A lot of times I find out later on there's some kind of weird thing going on in their life. Either they're struggling with something, or they might not even be a believer at all. Mm-hmm. At all, you know. And I believe, according to the scripture, I believe scripture backs us up to where if you're a believer and I'm a believer and we're both walking in the light, again, not talking about perfection, but if we're both walking in the light, it doesn't matter what race, age, even denomination, if you're Baptist, if you're Pentecostal, you know, none of those things matter to where it should be an automatic connect in the spirit like that. Mm-hmm. I've had that happen. I had that where I was at Walgreens where, if we see if the one of this girl's gonna like listen to this or whatever. There's at Walgreens, there was a girl who was, you know, who wasn't saved, and then she immediately got saved overnight. And then when I was working there, it was like, you know, we connect, you know, it's like an instant, like you can have a conversation with this person, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like an instant in the spirit, you know. I've had it that has sometimes where you're walking out and you can just immediately sense, okay, this person is a Christian in the spirit, you know. You just kind of sense like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, this person's a Christian. And you find out, yeah, either they're a pastor or you find out, oh, this person is a believer. Because there's the, with Psalms, I believe, talks about this, is the deep cries out to deep. The spirit of God in you, the deep in you, actually cries out to the spirit of God in you. And you should be able to sense that in the spirit. It's that automatic, the letter Paul talks about, that fellowship in the spirit. So it goes deeper than just oh, you know, we both share the same beliefs or you know, we no, it actually goes to where the spirit of God who is eternal in you is also in you too. And your connection goes beyond just the physical realm. I think that's, again, that's one of the, I guess, the perks you have of being a believer, is that you can automatically sense that. And again, that's just something that we have to discern too as we go. And I think our discernment gets better to where it's at. Again, that's a manifestation of that love for one another. There should be something to where I automatically love you because you're my brother and you're my sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. So there's automatically a family thing there, you know, mm-hmm. And you love your family. 1 Peter 4:8 again says love covers a multitude of sins. So even with love, to where in the same way Jesus forgave us, remember Jesus said that, you know, when someone sins against you, and then the person came to him and was like, well, how many times have I forgiven my brother, you know, who sinned against me? And he said like 70 times 70, you know, something like that, I believe. So you basically, the thing is you're supposed to lose count. That's really, you're not supposed to be like, you know, have a little tally there. Like, okay, have a little tally for it. Okay, you're on the 100 and...
You got 100 more.
Yeah, just wait until that next one. Then you can mess up and I can hate you now. Yeah, 400, you know. The goal is that you're supposed to lose count. And again, I mean, I understand we have the flesh and you have the world. And again, that's something that maybe the Lord has to work out and you know. But again, God calls us to love, to have love in a sense that we love covers a multitude of sin, to where we can actually, a brother or sister in Christ, you know, sins against us, and we can be like, okay, we can, you know, forgive them and cover that, and we can kind of have issues with that. I know I've had issues with other believers, and I've had issues and conflicts with other believers, and, you know, sometimes that we have to kind of work that out. A lot of times, I have to confess, and the issues that, again, don't get resolved, sometimes, you know, again, there's other things going on. But a lot of times, when both me and another believer are both walking with Christ, a lot of times that love will cover the sin. And we will kind of come back together and we'll come back to the status quo of, you know, loving one another. When there is no love, you know, and it's just like, oh, let's say I want to be right, or I don't want to accept your forgiveness, or you sinned against me too many times. A lot of times that breeds some kind of, there's no love there. There's no fruit. That's not a fruit of the spirit. You know, that's not a fruit of the spirit. Mm-hmm. That's, again, a work of the flesh and bitterness. The main, I don't know if you guys think of this like this, but the main thrust of you as a believer is that you're going to operate like Christ, and you're going to have it where you're going to be able to forgive those who've sinned against you. And again, that may not be, it's not to say that you're a doormat and you just let whatever, happen, you know. But at the same time, you know, what did Jesus say on the cross to where he said, forgive them for they know not what they do? You know, we have where these people are like literally, like they're nailing nails into like his hands, you know, these Roman soldiers, you know. And you have the other people who are being crucified. They're probably cursing, you know, cursing the soldier or whatever. And you have Jesus there saying, forgive them for they know not what they do. They don't understand what they do. Now, we're going to face persecution. I don't think we're going to face crucifixion. persecution we may face. I don't know if we're going to face crucifixion. But are we ready for something like that? Are we ready for even just general to where people are talking about us behind our back? And not even necessarily saying that, oh, I forgive you, and therefore, you know, everything's... I'm not saying you're blind to the sin, but in a sense of like just being like okay, this person's sinned against me, you know, or you know, whatever. And again, it's not saying you don't demand justice either, but that whole mindset of like this person doesn't even understand what they're doing. This person like having that mindset to where this person they've sinned against me, but because of the love and Christ, the Christ nature in me. I understand this person has no clue what they're actually doing. And is operating in that mercy and that love. In this context, in Galatians, again, for other believers too. Joy, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice all. Joy, one of the fruits of the Spirit. The one verse I want to talk about in that context is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. It's not to say to give thanks for the circumstances, but to give thanks in those circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So understanding that even, like that's a real big testimony, is having to where you're under dire circumstances and you still have joy. That's a big testimony to the world because the natural bent of the world is complaining when something goes wrong and try and fix whatever it is going wrong. But you, being under dire circumstances, actually has joy. And then that would be a testimony to the world to where you're like, feel like, why do you have joy when all these things... Again, let's go to the extreme. People are being martyred in like Colosseums and people are singing praises to God as they're being martyred. Mm-hmm. So the joy of the Lord... As they're being killed for Christ, versus happiness, which is based on again your circumstances, you know, and what's going on around you. Peace, same bent. Philippians 4:7 talks about the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding. Again, when circumstances and things around you are going wrong, you still have peace, knowing that God is going to work these things out. Again, these are fruits of the Spirit. So these are things which in your natural human sinful self you won't have. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a product of you operating a spirit and adhering to what the Spirit... It's something that only He can really give you. Notice that it guards your hearts too in Philippians, in your minds in Christ Jesus. So continuing into other fruits, long-suffering, patience. Let's see where we're at here. Yeah, I'm not going to continue much longer. I might even stop here for a second. Long suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We might even talk about this next week because this is going to go very long. So, but I'll definitely pray and we can definitely get into ending for tonight. So. Mm-hmm. So, Father God, we just lift up today, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for just tonight, Lord, and just me speaking, Lord. And I just, this definitely went longer than what I thought. I didn't think it was going to go as long as I thought it was, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that what was spoken tonight would be utilized by the people here. Lord. Lord, I just pray, help me, Lord, too, even as we go into next week, to show me what areas you'd have me to speak on, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So I just pray, Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit that we might not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, Lord.
Yes, yes, God.
Lord, pray, Lord, that we would, that, Lord, help it to be a natural flow too. That it wouldn't be us just kind of striving and us just doing things in our own power, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you again for tonight, Lord. And, Lord, we just praise you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.